Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. This is Sam, host of Open World, formerly known as Against the Grain. Jesus, is this thing even on? Oh, yeah, it's on. We're good. We're good, homie! Oh, my goodness. Wasn't on last week because I was in the garden getting the garden prepared. We were supposed to have a bunch of rain, and we did! We did have a bunch of rain, and it was great. And then we had no rain, and I watched all the rain go by us, and then we got rain again yesterday. It's actually pretty good. So I have no complaints. We have Pixie joining us this evening when he's able to pop on, talking about court cases and affidavits and things like that. So we're back to the, forgive me, I am tired today, boy. Yep. Got a lot of fun stuff going on. Housekeeping. I have a Hermetic Principles children's book coming up here, and I'm going to have it released within the next 30 days. Just a little book that I put together on Hermetic Principles, basic fundamental, like, morality for little kids. Because I don't know if y'all have noticed, but things are starting to get a little squirrely, and people are just becoming very, not so great. I already had an incident myself today that, you know, people just don't hold the word, they don't care about morality, and, I'm not even going to get into details like that today, because I just don't even care. I'm too tired. So, Boy, it's a good thing I'm not live streaming on video right now because everybody else will be yawning too. But that's going to be getting released here soon. I've also got an older children's book series coming up. I've got a principles course coming up that will be geared for adults. And then I will also be having a children's course, like a young adult course, a children's course coming soon as well. So y'all are going to have to stay tuned for that. I am going to be revamping my website, Against the Grain, againsttegrainrad.wixsite.com/home. So at some point, I am going to get the domain, and I am going to get the hosting for that. It's going to be great. Stay tuned on that website there, and we will get you that information if you are interested, and I will let you know when the official launch is happening. I will have limited seating when it comes to this course. This is not just an everybody who wants to come across the path course. If you are interested in taking your spirituality to a next level, helping better yourself, and being able to do it with a group of people who are looking to dig deeper into occult studies and fundamental basic morality, this is my going to be a group for you. Don't bother to sign up if you're not actually ready to join the course or the class or to really kind of start digging deep and those kinds of things, because I don't want you wasting your money. This isn't going to be a 5-minute class. It's not going to be a $5 class. Make sure that if you're in, is there an internet link? Hold on here. Deet. Oh, one sec. Our guest today is... What's your number? I'll call you. One more second here. Okay, let's see if this is going to work. One more second. I'm not going to read his number out loud, because that's just kind of stupid. You there, mommy? Technical difficulties, folks. You know, it's kind of crazy. I haven't actually had technical difficulties in a long time. Whoa. Okay. So I don't even know who I just called. What in the world? Oh, you know, it'd probably be great if I actually, like, dialed in the wrong number. Holy smokes! Did I just dial somebody's wrong number? Wow, I quit. I'm done. Holy! Oh, yeah, I dialed so the wrong number. I can't even believe that just happened. We're going to try this again. Whoever I just called, I am so sorry. I am an idiot. I am an idiot. Like, that wasn't even close. I didn't even understand how I got that completely messed up.
Hello?
Holy wow. I can't even understand how I just got that backwards. Like, I'm just sitting here, I was like, wait a minute, and they actually answered. That's the scary part, is they actually answered. So here I am thinking it's you, and it's not even you. It's just some rando I just called. So whoever's in the 530 area code, I am so sorry.
Well, that's my old phone number. You know, I just moved a couple months ago.
Mm-hmm.
You probably had the right number 3 months ago.
Yeah, probably 3 months ago, but it's just like, I don't know who I just called. And, like, dude was actually listening. I could hear them breathing. It's like, holy crap.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Well,
I'm done.
You got
I'm
me.
Out.
You got me now. Are we on the air?
We on the air, homie. You good to go.
All right. So, I think I've brought a lot of attention over the past few phone calls to trying to keep my main goal, and I think you know this, is keeping people out of cages because people are not animals.
Mm-hmm.
And we agree on that, right?
Oh, big time. I mean, I don't think animals should be in cages for the most part either, but that's another conversation for another time.
Right, but people are definitely not animals. I mean,
oh,
maybe from a biological standpoint, but from the legal standpoint, we don't deserve to be treated as animals. And so you know
yeah.
me, my main goal in life is to keep people out of cages.
Mm-hmm.
So I've talked a lot in the past on your show about affidavits. Right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've talked about how criminal cases are always started with a probable cause affidavit, and we've discussed that, you know, an affidavit, an unrebutted affidavit stands as the facts of the matters asserted. So, and we've talked about how affidavit, you know, the way that, in my opinion, so, and mind you, I know you have listeners all over the world, and I know you're in Canada, so the jurisprudence there is a little bit different than it is in America. Or,
mm-hmm.
excuse me, I hate using that term. Sorry, I didn't even
yeah.
mean to use that. Yeah, I mean, but in the United States, okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's... It's hard to use these terms without even getting involved with what they mean.
Yeah.
I know you know that. But I'm just going to speak in regular parlance, and hopefully people will kind of get the gist of it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
What I want to get into, and I've always said the easiest way, and at least in the United States of America or any of the states that are subject to the United States of America operate, you know, I've always said rebut the probable cause affidavit, you know, because there's a probable cause affidavit. It goes to the, you know, the cop writes that up. They send it to the prosecutor, which in your case represents, quote unquote, the Crown.
Mm-hmm.
Although these are all just terms that... Unless you understand them, like, even if you do understand them, really don't have any relevance, honestly. The fact of the matter is, I've always said, rebut the probable cause affidavit with your own affidavit. Okay. equalizes the playing field. So I think tonight what I want to get into is affidavits in general.
Mm-hmm.
I want to read some stuff and try to explain what it means, not through the basic parlance, but through the legal parlance. Because, and I may actually backtrack myself through this, through the course of this endeavor tonight, because some of the stuff I'm going to read, I haven't read before.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, but I got it from a good source. This is all from American Jurisprudence, sections 1 through 20, 3 Amjur Second Affidavits, section 1.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The topics and the correlation tables and the references and everything else. Okay. Generally, the definition of an affidavit, okay, in accordance with American jurisprudence, an affidavit is a voluntary written statement of fact under oath sworn to or affirmed by the person making it before some person who has authority under the law to administer oaths and officially certified by the officer under his seal of office. Okay, I'm going to stop there because I like to make things simple.
Yeah.
And this is very complicated. Mind you, this is straight out of American jurisprudence, and just the first statement, the definition, creates many, many complications. I'm not even going to read further before I explain this. An affidavit is a voluntary written statement of fact. Okay. So a probable cause affidavit, we're not going to worry about our affidavits. We're going to just dig into what a probable cause affidavit is, right? Because we want to understand what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But before we try to do the same thing. Now, you can rebut a probable cause affidavit with your own affidavit, but until you really understand how they consider an affidavit, it's really irrelevant to worry about what you're going to do after someone writes an affidavit, right? So let's worry about what their affidavit is, their probable cause affidavit. Is a voluntary, right? The cop voluntarily writes a statement of fact under oath. Okay. Are they really writing statements of fact? Or is most of what they're writing hearsay?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because honestly, Sam, I don't know if we're going to get past this first statement tonight. An affidavit is a voluntary written statement of fact under oath. Okay.
Yep.
Just that in and of itself creates so many complications.
Mm-hmm.
We know these cops write this their probable cause affidavits voluntarily, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They voluntarily do that because if they didn't want to do it, they would just go back to the police department and say, we let the guy go. We don't care. They'll write a police report, right? A report is mm-hmm. not an affidavit. It's just a report of what they did. Right, because they have to answer to their bosses for what they were doing during a specific period of time, right?
Yeah.
That's a report. A report is what they did. But an affidavit is voluntary, which means that they took the extra time to say, we really think that this needs to be pursued. So they voluntarily do that because they don't have to write an affidavit, but they could. And so they voluntarily write up this affidavit, probable cause affidavit, mm-hmm. which is a written statement, agreed, very simple, of fact. Something went wrong. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're so good.
Okay. So an affidavit is a voluntary written statement of fact. Okay, so we got past the voluntary part. We know that they volunteered to screw you over.
Mm-hmm.
We know that they voluntarily wrote it out, which is a written statement. But now we get into the of fact part. That's a big part of this, because what are the facts that they are voluntarily writing? I think before we even get further into that definition, we need to figure out what the facts are that they're writing.
Yeah.
We know they're voluntarily writing it, okay? So FN1 and FN2 are done. They voluntarily, FN1, wrote a statement, FN2, of fact, FN3. Okay. What are the facts that they are writing voluntarily? Was it a fact that they heard that you did something from someone else? More than likely, because generally somebody called the cops, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, sometimes the cops witness you do something. They're there. Okay, so say the cop witnesses you perform an action. Okay. If a cop witnesses you perform an action, then they can say it's a voluntary written statement of fact.
Yeah.
But if the cops show up after the fact, say somebody called them and said you did something, and then so somebody calls dispatch. They said, you used a flamethrower and fucking burnt a fence of your neighbor's yard, mm-hmm. right? So they call the cops. Okay. So an affidavit is a voluntary written statement of fact. So did the cop, the of fact, FN3, part. Did the cop write the statement that you burned the fence with a flamethrower, or did they write the statement that your neighbor told them you burned the fence with a flamethrower? That's the of fact part, right?
Yeah.
Did they witness it, or did they hear it? They could be staring at a burned fence. They could be staring at you with a flamethrower in your hand. But did they witness the fact, or did they witness you burn the fence, or are they witnessing the neighbor's statement of fact that you burned the fence? What is the fact? The fact is very important. Did they witness you burn the fence, or did they just witness your neighbor said that you burned the fence?
Yeah.
Because there's a big difference there. There's a gigantic difference in whether they witnessed you burn the fence or whether they witnessed your neighbor say you burned the fence.
Yeah, because if they say you witnessed, then when you didn't, that's hearsay. So.
Right. your neighbor's statement that you burned the fence is hearsay.
Mm-hmm.
Technically, on the cop's part, it's hearsay.
Yeah.
Because maybe you did burn the fence with a flamethrower, and maybe the neighbor did witness that. Well, that's the neighbor's testimony to give, not the cop's.
Yeah.
The cop did not witness you burn the fence. So, it's a voluntary written statement of fact. And this is where we get into a lot of trouble. And I'm not even a third of the way through this first definition in American jurisprudence. The fact is, your neighbor told the cop that he witnessed you burn the fence. That's the only fact, is that your neighbor stated that he witnessed you burn the fence. So the neighbor needs to be called in to testify to the fact in court. But the cop can't testify to that fact.
Mm-hmm.
So when the cop writes his voluntary written statement, what he should say is, I arrived on the scene and Joe Blow told me that you burned the fence. Because that's a fact. The neighbor did tell you that as a cop. He told you that you burned the fence. That's a fact. Whether or not the neighbor is lying or you actually did it or not is irrelevant. What he should say is, as a voluntary written statement of fact, is he should say, I arrived on the scene. Joe Blow told me that Jane Doe burned the fence. If the cop voluntarily writes in his statement that you burned the fence, he's full of shit.
Mm-hmm.
You understand where I'm getting?
You betcha.
Because he can't. He can't voluntarily write a statement of fact that you burned the fence.
Yep.
He can say, I showed up on the scene, the neighbor told me he burned the fence, and I saw a burnt fence, and I saw a flamethrower in this guy's hand. Those are facts that guy can admit to, but he cannot say, you burned the fence. He can only say, I showed up, saw a fence burned, and I saw a flamethrower in his hand. He can't say that you burned the fence.
Who, what, when, why? Oh, sorry, who, what, when, where, not the why.
Not even those questions.
Mm-hmm.
This is why I said we may not get through this first sentence of American jurisprudence tonight. Because the fact is, the cop showed up. He voluntarily wrote a statement of fact. This is an affidavit, a voluntary written statement of fact. Mm-hmm. Now, what generally happens is the cop shows up, he writes a voluntary statement of fact that he is unaware of. Instead of saying, I showed up on the scene, I saw a burnt fence, I saw a flamethrower in this guy's hand, what the cop generally says is, I showed up and this guy had burned the fence. How does he know? He doesn't. He doesn't know you burned the fence. He thinks you burned the fence because your neighbors said you burned the fence and you're standing there with a flamethrower in your hand and there's a burnt fence. Okay, he thinks that. But that's not the way they word their affidavits. They say, I showed up, and I found this guy burning the fence, or I showed up and this guy was had a flamethrower in his hand and the fence was burned. They don't know the truth because they weren't there. So a voluntary written statement of fact. There's a lot of facts that are generally left out of the probable cause affidavit. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna just bypass that now and go under oath, FM4. Okay? The cop is under oath because he's got a badge and shield. He's always under oath. Okay, so that's not even an issue. Anything that cop says is always under oath.
Mm-hmm.
Sworn to or affirmed by the person making it. Okay, that's the cop, right? Not the neighbor. A voluntary written statement of fact under oath, sworn to or affirmed by the person making it. The oath is already a given. FM4. It's already given. Sworn to or affirmed by the person making it, FM5. Right? So, mm-hmm. We know the oath is in place, okay? Before somebody having the authority under the law to administer the oath, FM6, we're just going to presume that their oath of office was taken by somebody who has the authority. Many times it's not. But let's presume it was the cop's oath was taken by some person who has the authority under the law to administer the oath and officially certified by the officer under his seal of office. Okay, that's generally considered. Like, although a traffic citation generally doesn't have the official seal.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, we're not talking about traffic citations generally because I don't deal with traffic citations because traffic citations don't generally put you in jail.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get back to the things that will put you in a box. And that is FN3, which a voluntary FN1, written statement FN2 of fact. There's never a fact sworn to by a police officer that can engage in that kind of activity. That's where the real problem lies, is the probable cause affidavits are generally not, they're not factual.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where the issue lies. They're not factual. Because, again, a factual affidavit would be made by, like, if a cop created the affidavit, and we're not even debating whether or not you burned the fence, okay? What we're talking about here is the cop showed up, you had a flamethrower in your hand, the fence was burned, it's not on fire, say it still is on fire, who gives a shit? Okay, but they're not going to mention that. They're going to say, I showed up, this guy had a flamethrower in his hand and was burning the fence. That's their opinion. Was the flamethrower actually operational when the cop showed up? Was it aimed at the fence? Or are they just relying on your neighbor's statement that you did that and the coincidental circumstances would lead somebody to believe that? Because there are coincidental circumstances that would lead somebody to believe something that weren't necessarily true. Maybe you were standing there with a flamethrower in your hand trying to burn your weeds out of your garden and a lightning bolt hit the fence and burned the fence. Are you responsible for that? No. Did you burn the fence? with your flamethrower? No. Were you standing there with a flamethrower? Yes. Was the fence burnt? Yes. Okay, but what are the actual facts? He doesn't know. He's presuming things. Am I making sense?
No, big time.
Okay. Are you okay with what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Do you have any questions? Do your listeners have any questions?
I don't think my listeners have any questions at the moment, but this is stuff that people need to know because, like, this is where they get you. This is where they get you. Is like, this is what they always do, is they play these word games and these mind games, and then they trick you into handing over your autonomy and your jurisdiction and stuff over silly little mind games that, you know, this is why they're like, oh, trust the authority, trust the authority. So breaking it down into layman's terms for people to comprehend, especially when we know that, you know, oh, like everybody's talking about ACAB and how cops do dirty things. And like, you know, like I shared on my radio show a couple times that I had a cop pull me over and threaten to hold me indefinitely until I told him who I was. Cops are crooked people. And the fact that an entire, like, you know, judicial system where it's, you know, innocent until proven guilty is based on making guilt happen by total hearsay and lies. It's like, this is really nice to break it down for people listening, because this is the kind of information that people are craving that you have to either pay really big bucks for, in which case, good luck, because I often see you arguing with people in these law groups and getting kicked out of these law groups and getting silenced in these law groups and things like that for just asking basic questions. And quite often I see that there's like, you don't even know what you're talking about. And these are supposed to be professionals that are supposed to be representing you. Well, wait a minute. Who are you actually standing up for here? You know, are you in on their little game and you're just using me to make some money off of, you know, for commerce sake, or are you actually for me? Like, what's the deal here? So,
well, that brings up another point that I'm going to make very quickly and shortly and not try to get into, but here it is. conflict creates the energy that they need to create value in a debt society.
Yeah.
So the more conflict you create, the more of a debtor you are. And this goes back to the things I've said a long time ago. There's creditors and there are debtors, and creditors don't argue. Debtors argue. And debtors and people who argue are the ones that create the value in a debt society. But I'm going to just say that and then try to leave it alone and get on to the next section because that is a whole different discussion. All right. So let's go on. The proper function of an affidavit is to state facts, not conclusions. It goes back to the example I made. We you know, the cop shows up, he has a conclusion. It's an opinion. Yeah. It's not the fact. Again, say you were in your yard burning weeds with your flamethrower, which is perfectly legal in your jurisdiction or whatever, and a lightning strike came down and burned the fence or destroyed it. Okay. Does the cop know that? No. He's concluding that you burned the fence. So the proper function of an affidavit is to state facts, not conclusions.
Yeah.
Technically, the cop should have said, I showed up, so-and-so said that so-and-so was burning the fence with a flamethrower.
Yeah.
He shouldn't have said, I found the flamethrower in the tin, the fence was burned, and he definitely burned it. That's not what a cop's job is. The proper function of an affidavit is to state facts, not conclusions. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's the secondary part of that. An affidavit is made without notice to the adverse party and without opportunity to cross-examine. In other words, that cop can write whatever he wants and doesn't have to tell you anything.
Hmm.
And doesn't have to give you the opportunity to cross-examine his opinion.
Yeah.
Okay? There's a due process violation right there. Now, there's a distinction between types of affidavits. Some serve as evidence and advise the court as it decides preliminary issues or determines substantial rights where evidence is not in conflict, while other affidavits merely serve to invoke judicial power and are pledges of good faith and commencement of suits. There's a tough one to get through. That's one sentence, and it's a tough one to get through, just like the first one.
Mm-hmm.
There's a distinction between the types of affidavits. Some, whatever they are, serve as evidence and advise the court. Advise the court as it decides preliminary issues or determines substantial rights where evidence is not in conflict. There's more to that sentence than that, but let's just break this sentence down. Some serve as evidence and advise the court as it decides preliminary issues. Okay? So somebody says something, and the court has to decide whether that's a legit thing or not. Or it determines substantial rights where evidence is not in conflict. Okay. This is the part where it's important to pay attention to everything I've said up to this point through the last few times I've been on your radio show.
Mm-hmm.
Or determine substantial rights where evidence is not in conflict. Now, what evidence is there? The cop's probable cause affidavit is the only evidence in issue, right? Generally, on a criminal case. So, where determine substantial rights where evidence is not in conflict. Okay, so when you rebut the probable cause affidavit that the cop wrote, what you're doing is you're determining your substantial rights by creating the conflict. And, Sam, you know me. I don't do conflict. But this is one very important, relevant part of life where I will absolutely create conflict. An affidavit serves as evidence and advise the court as it decides preliminary issues or determines substantial rights where evidence is not in conflict. Okay. the evidence is always in conflict with your substantial rights. Right? I mean,
mm-hmm.
isn't it? Really? Doesn't the evidence always conflict with a determination of substantial rights?
That's a good question.
I'll leave it to your listeners to answer that in their own minds.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then there's a comma. While other affidavits merely serve to invoke judicial power and are pledges of good faith in commencement of suits. Isn't a probable cause affidavit always meant to serve to invoke judicial power? And are they not generally considered to be pledges of good faith in commencement of a suit? If a cop says something in an affidavit, they're there to serve to invoke the judicial power.
Okay.
A cop, any probable cause affidavit created by a cop is always there to invoke judicial power. But they also have to be, because it says and. So they have to be pledges of good faith in commencement of a suit. Well, there's a problem, because we already know that these fuckers aren't operating in good faith. And
yeah.
It's funny that the American jurisprudence even says good faith, because good faith is actually a commercial term. It's a commercial construct. Good faith is a commercial construct. So I'm just going to put that out there. I don't like dealing with commerce in courts. Especially criminal courts. Because they don't...
commercial? I've never heard that before. Can you elaborate a little bit more on that one?
On what?
That good faith is a commercial construct. That I've never heard before. I'd like for you to elaborate on that, because now I'm curious.
All right. What is good?
Something that is not bad.
Okay, what is faith?
That is, how do I explain it? It's like belief. It's like...
It's a belief. Yeah, you're right. It's a belief.
Yeah.
Faith is a belief. It's a ethical construct.
Yeah.
Right. So good faith is a positive ethical construct.
Okay.
Faith is... Technically, faith is an intangible... It's not something that can be... proven. A faith is not something that can be proven. A faith is an intangible construct. Okay?
Yeah.
However, good faith, right? We know good is the opposite of bad, but faith is an intangible construct. Okay? So it must necessarily fall under the idea of some form of trust. Am I right?
Yes.
If I'm wrong, and any of your listeners can prove me wrong, I would absolutely love to hear from them on this issue. I'm not going to lie to you. I would absolutely love to be shown that there are some other extenuating circumstances where this isn't true. But
yeah.
Faith is an ethical construct, okay? Which involves trust. So when you good faith is an ethical construct of a trust, which is obviously in nature a commercial endeavor.
Yeah.
All trusts are commercial endeavors. Again, if any of your listeners have something other to say, I would love to hear it from them, because I could be wrong. This is just how I perceive things.
Mm-hmm.
But if an affidavit merely serves to invoke judicial power and is a pledge of good faith in commencement of suits, then, yeah, we've got a trust issue, we've got a commercial issue, yeah, all that. But I don't want to delve into that right now.
Mm-hmm.
It serves to invoke the judicial power and our pledges of good faith in commencement of a suit. Okay.
Yeah.
So let's assume that the cop that showed up at your door doesn't know the facts, but honestly believes that you burned the fence with your flamethrower. That's a good faith endeavor. It's wrong because you didn't burn the fence. The facts are the same. You were burning your fucking weeds and, excuse my language, you were burning your weeds and the lightning struck the fence. So it's not the facts. Mm. But he has a good faith commencement of a suit. So let's go with that. There's good faith, there's bad faith. But let's go with the good faith. Now, let's backtrack a little bit and say, again, did that cop in his affidavit say, you burnt the fence? Because if he says you burnt the fence, there's no good faith available there. He didn't see that. That's not a fact. And he didn't witness the fact. So the evidence is now in conflict. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So let's go back a little bit further. There is a distinction between the types of affidavits. Some mm-hmm. serve as evidence and advise the court as it decides preliminary issues or determines substantial rights where evidence is not in conflict. Now, let's bring the evidence into conflict. Did the cop see you burn the fence? No. Okay. So it doesn't serve to invoke the judicial power and our pledges of good faith in commencement of suit. There's no pledge of good faith because he didn't see you do anything.
Yeah.
He's making conclusions and then throwing it into an affidavit and expecting it to be accepted as a fact.
Yeah.
This is why you always rebut the probable cause affidavit. Always. Because these guys don't know what they're talking about. They weren't there. They don't know anything. Everything is based on hearsay. And unless they have somebody that will literally say, and generally they need 2 to 3 witnesses to say, yeah, that guy had the flamethrower in his hand and absolutely burned the fence. That's what they need. They need 2 to 3 witnesses to say that.
Mm-hmm.
They don't need, they could have 3 witnesses that say you had the flamethrower in your hand. They could say, they could have 3 witnesses that say the fence was burned. But if they can't articulate the fact that you did that thing, you burned the fence with your flamethrower, then it's speculation. And it's not a pledge of good faith.
Mm-hmm.
No particular terminology is required to render a document an affidavit. That just blows away everything I just said. That's in American jurisprudence, and it blew away literally everything I spent the last hour telling you. No particular terminology is required to render a document an affidavit. Although, on the opposite side of that, no particular terminology is required to render a document an affidavit. However, the substance of the affidavit must be what? A voluntary written statement of fact under oath, sworn to or affirmed by the person making it, and we're not going to get into the rest of that. So, there are ways to blow things apart that I'm talking about, and there's ways to stick with what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
The terminology is not required to render a document an affidavit. What's required to render a document an affidavit is that it has to be a voluntary written statement of fact under oath sworn to or affirmed by a person making it before some person or authority under the law to administer oaths and officially certified by the officer under his seal of office. That's what makes an affidavit. Doesn't have to be. The terms and words you use don't necessarily make something an affidavit. But if the terms you use fall into those former categories, then it is an affidavit, period. Here's a definition of an affidavit. A verification is a type of statement given under oath where the defendant, where the declarant must not only refrain from making a knowingly false statement, but must have affirmative knowledge of the statement's truthfulness.
Hmm.
I'm going to read that again because that's important. A verification is a type of statement given under oath where the declarant must not only refrain from making a knowingly false statement, but must, there's that word, must, also have affirmative knowledge of the statement's truthfulness. How many, I don't know how many probable cause affidavits you read in the course of your research, Sam, but I've been doing this 13 years, And I'm going to tell you something right now. There's no such thing as a probable cause affidavit that I've ever seen written by a cop that has affirmative knowledge of the statement's truthfulness. Every probable cause affidavit that I have ever seen, I'm not saying they don't exist, but everyone I have ever seen has failed on that point. They do not have affirmative knowledge of the statement's truthfulness. And I'm sure we've got some questions going on right now. So we're going to stop for a second, and you're probably going to take a commercial break.
You betcha.
I keep forgetting you have to do that to keep your thing going. But I would like to hear from some of your listeners at some point after we come back from the commercial break. And if we don't have any questions, then we'll go on. And if we do, then I'd like to answer those. But in the meantime, I think you have a commercial break coming up.
You betcha. We'll head out for a commercial break. So anybody that's listening, if you are on the Blog Talk Radio, you can go to the chat box, type it in the chat, or you can head over to www.freedomizerradio.com, click the Listen Live button. And there is a chat box there. Feel free to type out a question in the chat box, and I can read it to Pixie, and he can answer your question. So we're going to head out here for a couple minutes to do a quickie commercial break, and we will be right back.
Please check out the Barefoot is Legal radio show right here on Saturdays, 1:30 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern Time. That is 10:30 a.m. to noon Pacific Time, as we show you all about your barefoot rights and living a barefoot lifestyle. And for more information about the 501c3 nonprofit Barefoot is Legal, please check out barefootislegal.org.
We all know that times are tough and things are really expensive right now, so why not save a little bit of your wallet as well as the landfill? Marty.com carries high-quality products at low, low prices, sometimes up to 70% off of retail. I just got a wonderful package of beef jerky for 1 cent sent to my house through Marty.com. Marty.com offers high-quality products at discount prices. Why? Well, sometimes products are seasonal or overstocked, or packaging just changes. It's still great quality food, but it's going to end up in the landfill if we don't find some way to distribute it. And leave that to Marty.com. Now, if you want to save a little extra today, you can get $20 off your first order by going to our Facebook group for Dynamic Word Bible Studies and picking up a discount code there. So check out Dynamic Word Bible Studies at Facebook and find Marty.com on our comments. You'll be able to get this free discount code. It's going to give you $20 off, and it's also a great way to support our show and to keep those landfills light and to save some money in your wallet. And I'm all about saving money. So check out Marty.com.
Earthing, also known as grounding, is the act of touching our body's skin directly to the earth, just like our ancestors did as they slept, sat, and walked on the ground nearly every day of their lives. This simple connection allows Earth's natural negative electrons to enter the human body, pacifying dangerous free radicals, which, if left unchecked, can cause severe damage to cells that can lead to many chronic diseases. Ground Therapy's patented process and suite of products were designed for you to experience all the benefits of grounding in your busy and modern lifestyle. And you'll experience the benefits of grounding within the safety and comfort of your home or office throughout the entire day, just as if you were touching the earth itself.
The information is provided for general informational purposes only. The contents are not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Ground Therapy Incorporated makes no representations about the efficiency, appropriateness, or suitability of any specific tests, procedures, treatments, services, opinions, healthcare providers, or other information that may be contained in or available through the information provided.
Food waste is one of the most easily solvable problems, literally the low-hanging fruit of environmentalism. Pardon the pun, it's my job.
About 20% of all produce never makes it off the farm.
It's because they just look a little funny,
a little weird, but when you cut into it, it's perfectly good food.
It's just a total shame. It's totally good stuff.
We buy ugly produce directly from farms that often would go to waste because supermarkets won't buy it because of how it looks, and we deliver it to people's doors.
Beauty standards for an apple.
This isn't that ugly at all. Like, that's the most common first box, like, complaint we get.
We change that. We educate people. We show them how amazing these fruits and vegetables are.
Have food delivered to your house.
Box of produce every week.
And it's more affordable.
At a very reasonable price.
Cheaper than the grocery store.
I spend a lot less time in grocery stores. It's an adventure every time that you open your box.
High quality produce.
There's nothing wrong with the produce.
And they taste exactly the same, if not better.
Save those fruits and vegetables that get wasted every year.
And it's delivered to your door, like,
but what? Why wouldn't you do?
Please go to our website, freedomizerradio.live, and sign up for Imperfect Foods today. Use our promo code and get money off your first order. Go ahead and get some organic and all-natural meats, dairy, snacks, breads, and non-GMO produce.
Hello? Sam? Hey, Sam, are you there?
I should probably unmute myself when I start talking. My goodness.
That would be helpful.
Wrong number one, number one, number two. I'm just having like a great old time, like reintroducing the show. Hey, this is Sam, host of Open World, formerly known as Against the Grain, and I don't understand how to unmute my phone.
That's so funny.
Here we go. This is like AA for people who can't do technology. My goodness. All right, for everybody that's listening, if you're on the Blog Talk Radio, Freedomizer, blogtalkradio.com/freedomizerradio, you can type in a comment in the chat there, or you can head over to www.freedomizerradio.com. Click the Listen Live button. And we got a little chat box there. You can type in a question there if you have one, and I can read it to Tiki. But I'm not seeing any questions or comments at the moment, so I'm going to let you go, dude. So keep going.
God, my mouth is starting to hurt.
It's like a marathon. Right,
well, yeah, I mean, It's nice when we get questions because,
mm-hmm.
you know, then we can answer, like, real people's concerns. I mean, I can sit here and talk about what I know or, you know, discuss what is available information all day long.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, and I'm sure people will learn from that.
I'm going to get my Facebook page up and running again. And like, I've been chipping away at like reorganizing my website. And if you want to come on again sometime, I'm going to imagine you're going to want to come on again within the like next month or so. But the next time you come on, I'm going to let everybody know that you're going to be coming on. So we'll have some listeners. And if they have questions, they'll be a lot more aware that you're on. So
okay.
Give me a little bit of time to get my stuff sorted out there, and we're gonna make sure that the next time you come on, it's gonna be a lot. There's gonna be people with questions.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not I don't mean this in any way to detriment you, but it would be a lot better. I would enjoy this a lot more if we had some kind of interaction with your listeners, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
you betcha.
And I don't mind, because I'm sure that everything I'm saying is bringing people's attention to things, and they're learning things, and I would like that. I enjoy that. I do. I love being on your show, Sam. I don't think I've ever been on your show where I haven't been able to produce some form of information that people that are listening to your show haven't learned from. So, I respect you and I appreciate you and the work you're doing. I think it would be a lot more fun if we had some interaction with the listeners, you know?
Yep, absolutely. And like I said, I'm gonna make that happen. I'm going to go through and reorganize, restructure, and relaunch. And then when that happens, which should be in the next two weeks or so, the next time you come on, I will make a formal announcement on those channels so that people can come on and chat. I think that would be good, because that's what we used to do on Against the Grain, is we used to bring people in to come in and ask questions, and then I just kind of fell off the train for a little while. So I'm kind of restarting, if that makes sense. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And I appreciate you for some other things that you've done for me in the past. Helped me get the web page going. I just recently logged back into that, and I'm working on creating some videos and other content again. You know what I'm talking about. So I'm trying to get that going again, and maybe there'll be some, you know, maybe there'll be some ways that we can, how do I call it? I don't want to say market it, because that sounds like a really, you know, egotistical and way to do things, but I don't know. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to get the you helped me a lot with the website, and I have been looking at trying to get that going again. Trying to create content for that, and I appreciate you putting me onto that. Actually, if I wouldn't have that website if it weren't for you. So, I haven't been able to really push a lot of it yet, because kind of my own fault, honestly. I've just been busy with cases and not paying attention to how much value that we could get out of things if we just, you know, put the content out there. So I've been trying to work on content for the site, and that's what I'm trying to do here, honestly, with you, is help you create content for your site, you know, as well. But it would be a lot. It would be, I think it would be really good for both of us if our listeners or other people could get involved and just, because when you start answering people's questions, you start getting better results, I think.
You betcha.
But without people asking questions, you know, we're just sitting here kind of putting information out there, you know, which is not bad. I mean, people need this information, and it's a good thing. But, I mean, you know, I don't know how to do this any better. I don't, you know, again, I hate to say the word marketing, but I think more people need to know what we have. And I think that when people get more involved in what we have, then they'll start asking questions. We can start answering questions specifically for the people that we're, you know, talking to, you know?
Mm-hmm. You betcha.
I know they're all listening, and I know, you know, they're listening for a reason, because they want answers, they want opinions, they want understanding. And I think we can do that But I think we need more interaction from our listeners, basically, to make this work a little bit better. So I would like to throw that out there. That's not a detrimental call against you or anything. That's just, I'm just putting it out there that, you know, some of you guys, you know, you listen to this program and you hear what you hear and you understand things and you research stuff, but, you know, Sam and I need more interaction from you guys. Like, we really do. We need to know what you guys want and how we can help you. Am I wrong?
Nope. I don't think you're wrong. I don't think you're wrong at all. I think that's just, at this point in time, it's going to be a building progress. I think, you know, like I said, just kind of restarting the entire radio show, and I am super busy right now. And actually, you know, it's funny that you bring that up, because I have been reading book after book after book on social media marketing and efficient marketing and those kinds of things. And I'm starting to do a serious deep dive into neuro-linguistic programming and all these other things, marketing, et cetera, for my Hermetic Principles course coming up. So it's just kind of funny that you bring that up. That's those synchronicities that are starting to happen, where it's just like, okay, this is great. Now we're starting to get this out there, because now is the time. Everybody is looking for this kind of information. Everybody is looking for people to be able to have a discussion with and to be able to problem solve, because we are past the point of just having discussions and, you know, talking on Facebook and stuff anymore. People are starting to look for action, and they're starting to look for people who actually have their money where their mouth is and who are actually trying to make the world a better place. Because as we can see, by just taking one look on social media or the television or any place you get your sort of information from, that things are starting to fall apart. I mean, in some places, you don't even have to look anymore. You just go outside, and things are happening that never used to happen the way they were, but they are now, that something is seriously wrong. So getting this kind of information out there, especially in a layman's term, because, I mean, I hate to say it, but we've all been pretty dumbed down when it comes to the kind of information that is out there. Most people have the intellectual capacity of a rock. And that's not to say that it's a bad thing, but... We really need to start taking it next level, because it's like, you know, how many people read anymore? You know, I've had guests on where they read things straight from websites. They read books. They have book suggestions. They're reading this. I mean, you're reading pieces. Like, I've had Rod come on before. He reads things from books. I had Pete Hendrickson on just not too long ago. He's sitting there reading pieces and articles and things. Like, everybody that, you know, is in our circle, they like to read. So how do we start getting people involved and getting it to persuade them, essentially, rather than manipulate, because I'm not a big fan of manipulation, but persuasion a lot more, to get them to open up their mind to this kind of information and have the access to the resources that, you know, and have people who are actually going to value your time. Because, like, I don't know about you, bud, but I've been running into a lot of people this last little while that just truly don't value your time, and they want answers, they want it spoon-fed, but then they do nothing of it. And then you having, you know, your website available for free and easy access for people to come and be able to ask these questions and then be able to find the people that are actually going to take this information and actually do something with it. Because you can share the information all day long, but is anybody actually going to do anything with it? You know, it's like, this is the nice thing about, right, I'm going to be doing a little bit more effective marketing, but putting it out there for people who actually want to show up and they actually want to ask the questions and be involved. And it's just like, how do I save myself from this system? Because, like, I hate to break it to the listeners, or I hate to break it to anybody, ain't nobody going to come save you. You got to learn how to save yourself. Like, we've got you, we'll support you, we'll back you up and do what we can. But if you ain't going to work on saving yourself, especially with the information that you're providing today, that it's like there's nothing else anybody can do for you, and you're just putting yourself in the same trap that got you into this kind of a problem in the first place, where they can trick you and, you know, and fool you, and with these mind games and these word games and all this other nonsense, if you don't know what you're doing because you can't stand up for yourself, you're screwed regardless. So let's get back to the information that you're providing.
Sam, I agree with a lot of what you're saying. And honestly, like, I very rarely, I very rarely consider this, and on occasion I do try to, on occasion that I've been on your show, there's been a few times where I've presented my my forms for donations or whatever, you know, things like that, because you know I'm in a very limited economic situation myself.
Yep.
You know, but you know probably better than most of your listeners what, and I don't try to sit there and talk about how bad my economic situation is. I generally, when I get on your show, I talk about, you know, just the things that I can to help people, you know, and I don't expect anything from that. I don't think you do either, but, you know, there are a lot of us that do a lot of work behind the scenes, and generally, you know, the people like us that do a lot of work behind the scenes, we don't generally try to push, you know, pay us to do this, because we do this out of the goodness of our hearts. You know, we do. We legitimately do this out of the goodness of our hearts. And I enjoy being on your show, and I enjoy just being able to bring this information out to people. You know, and I'm sure you do too. But
you betcha.
But you know, you're right. A lot of it just, you know, we don't do this for the money, but we do a lot of work, We do a lot of research. We do a lot of bringing things to people's attention. We try to break it all down into ways that they can understand. And I feel blessed to be able to present it to people in that way. And hopefully the people that listen to your show, like, absolutely learn something from you, me, you know, the work that we do, the understanding that we have, the way we're able to present it and all that. But it does take a lot of time and effort, and you know, it's I'm not good at asking people for money. Like, I'll be honest with you, break it down to layman's terms, I'm not good at asking people for money. But I do a lot of research and a lot of work, and it takes a majority of my time, and we both bring, and you too, you know, and we both bring things to people's attentions, and we can break it down into ways that they can understand. We present it on these radio shows and other things that we do. And, you know, that does take some time and effort, and it costs us in our individual lives. A lot of problem. It just costs us, period. Mm-hmm. I mean, it just costs to do the things that we do. And we don't do it expecting any kind of, like, recompense for that. We do it because it's what we do. We love people. We want to bring people's attention to, you know, the ways that they can help themselves. But if anybody learns anything from us, like, that saves them any money or resources or anything of value, like, I mean, I would like to put it out there that, you know, please take a bit of that we save you and help us out, because it really is difficult to do this work.
Yep. Big time. You're going to have to give me your web when you're done it, and you've brought it launched.
You have my website. You created it.
Oh, yeah, I guess. Hey. Well, then I'm going to go find it again, and I'm going to post it here in the
Please don't, because I'm not ready. That's what I was telling you earlier. I'm working on that. I'm creating more content and getting things. I have been focused on that recently.
We'll get it launched and we'll post it today anyway. It doesn't matter. Because the fact that you've even got information that you're sharing right now on my website, this is information that is worth value. And just because you don't have it all on your website right now doesn't mean that you can't get started and start having donations to be accepted. Because I'm going to tell you one thing. Having been living broke for like the last 10 years, it is a lot easier to put out more information that people are going to need and they're going to require and they're going to enjoy to further themselves in their own knowledge when you actually got the basics of yourself covered. When you can actually sit and you can actually buy your groceries and pay your bills and do the things you need to do in life. That doesn't mean, like, you know, if you want to, if it means you need to go buy a yacht or whatever, but, you know, that's a whole other story for another time. But just to simply have your basis covered so you can continue to do what you do so that people can continue to enjoy you, put it out there so you can start accepting donations. Just like I said, the information you're sharing on this radio show, the radio shows you've done past on Open World, the radio shows you've done before when I was formally against the grain years ago, that is more than enough information that you have shared that most people can't comprehend in, like, you know, 15 years of looking at things. It's more than enough. You have done more than enough to actually start accepting donations, and you need to give yourself permission to actually accept the money that you're going to be given here in the very near future, if not right now. In fact, you know what? Just start accepting it right now. Give yourself permission to start accepting the money that you are deserving for the work that you have put out in the world right now.
Well, I believe you have my Cash App and or Venmo information.
Yep.
So maybe you could post that on this, I don't know how, post it on this
the show
thing
description.
That you do.
Yeah, I can put it also in the show description, and then I'll get your website. And like I said, don't worry. Like, keep tripping away at making sure, like, you know, if you want to put the content up there, definitely keep doing that. But we're going to get that up right now, and we're going to start asking people that if you've got $5 to throw your way, throw $5 your way, because a lot of people will take that $5, say, I don't have $5, and then go spend it on Starbucks, or go spend it on a video game, or they'll go down to the river, or they'll spend that $5 on the things that they prioritize and the things they need in their life. If they want your information and they want to actually spend time with you, they can provide the $5. They can most certainly do that,
and
because if they
honestly
want to make that a priority, they're going to.
Honestly, Sam, I do a lot of, most of my work comes through word of mouth, okay?
Yep.
And I, currently, I'm only working on two cases,
mm-hmm.
okay? Two criminal cases that, because this is the general thing that I do, is try to keep people out of boxes. I don't,
yep.
you know, so, but I'm very particular about the cases I take on, but
mm-hmm.
Right now I'm currently working on two cases, and they're both, if I'm lucky, paying me $50 a week. So
mm-hmm.
And I have not stopped working on those cases, even if somebody cannot pay me that week or somebody can
mm-hmm.
only pay me $30 a week. But basically, like, I have, like, no income right now. None.
Mm-hmm.
Except for what I'm doing. And I'm very dedicated to what I do. You know that. You know
mm-hmm.
I'm a very dedicated individual. And I don't take on easy cases. Like... Both of the cases I'm working on are very complicated.
Mm-hmm.
The one case I'm working on is a Pennsylvania case, and the other one is a North Carolina case.
Mm-hmm.
We have already, in the Pennsylvania case, we've already been through the Court of Appeals. We're about to go to the Supreme Court for it. The North Carolina case is very new, very complicated, and we are not by any stroke of the imagination not taking this seriously. The two cases, I'm very particular about the cases I'm working on, but I don't make any money doing this.
Mm-hmm.
I make no money, really, doing the amount of work I do. I mean, I'm worth $1,000 a week. No joke. But I'm making $50 a week from both of those cases. Because I care about people and I don't like people getting screwed over. And when I find a case that's really valuable and I mean valuable in the form that there's a lot there and it's really easy to determine how terribly these people are getting screwed. I will take those cases but I get on your show, just to share things, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I hope people learn. I know you have the same intentions I do. So, hopefully, you know, what I look for by saying what I've said is that I hope that somebody that needs the help that I can give them will say, hey, this guy will take on my case for $50 a week.
Mm-hmm.
Because I will. And I work things out and I trust people and I work things out with them. And, you know, I mean, if you're not a trustworthy individual and I can't count on you to help me out, then I'll just tell you, hey, no matter what, I'm always going to do a greater value of work than you're ever going to pay me for. But, you know, if you don't care about your own case, then that's going to be very apparent really quickly. And then I'm just going to stop taking your money. Even if it is only $50 a week, I'm going to tell you, you're not going to do what you need to get done. And I'll be very honest and blunt with people. Like, you know that.
Mm-hmm.
You know a lot more about me than anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's, again, I just appreciate being on your show, and I think we should get back into what we were originally talking about.
Absolutely. Go for it. Fire away,
okay.
Sir.
A verification is a type of statement given under oath where the declarant must not only refrain from making knowingly false statements, but must also have affirmative knowledge of the statement's truthfulness. And let me tell you, man, look, I'm going to shut this page down. I'm going to get into something else. That's along the same subject. Federal injunction suits. Robin E. Frost. Void judgments. Trust notes. Notes. Let's go to the dismissal. Okay, I wanted to talk about a bunch of different things. I have them all pulled up, but I think this one's the one I really want to get into next. This is a petition that was filed in the Superior Court of North Carolina for, I'm not going to talk about the county. It's a petition for dismissal and lack of jurisdiction. Actually, I think I went over this before. So hold on. Let me get into something else. Okay, court questions. This is a pretty simple document. It's only a couple of pages. These are, this is something I brought up. I pulled up a bunch of stuff before before I got on this call, because I had a lot of things I wanted to talk about. But let's get into this. These are court questions. I call them court questions. Okay? And I have, there's a list of questions here. Not very many questions, but we're going to go into the answers more than the questions, okay? These are really good questions to ask, but we're going to get into the answers, because generally every question I ask is a yes or no question when you're in court, okay? I don't want to make it complicated for them. I want to make it easy for them to answer me. It's, you know, if you ask a yes or no question, you only have two answers, right? It's yes or no. Well, I have responses to both yes and no for every single question I'm getting ready to ask. But here's question number one. And remind your listeners that these are, these questions are well thought out and very well performed in the language that they're being asked. Okay? Question number one. Is there anyone here in this courtroom who is under any legally enforceable obligation to recognize and protect my rights? Every word of that question means something. Is there anyone here in this courtroom who is under any legally enforceable obligation to recognize and protect my rights? That's a yes or no question, right?
Yes.
Okay. So the response to any answer except yes, because the only answer you really want is yes. But the response to any answer except yes is this. Let the record reflect that there has been no positive affirmation of any obligation to protect my rights, and therefore no legitimate office holder exists within this court. All right. Okay.
Okay.
The response, let's get to the yes part. If somebody says yes, the response directed to anyone answering yes is this. Sir or ma'am, I must respectfully require you to ensure the immediate dismissal of this matter before the court, as the record already reflects that my right to due process has been violated due to the failure of any agent of the alleged plaintiff to provide me with a copy of either a probable cause affidavit for an arrest or the alleged indictment, therefore making it impossible for me to create a meeting of the minds, any form of settlement on the charges, or knowingly enter a valid plea. So there's a yes or no question, and there's an answer to both. If they say no, then you have your answer. Let the record reflect that there has been no positive affirmation of any obligation to protect my rights, and therefore no legitimate office holder exists within this court. Because if nobody answers yes, then the record will reflect that there has been no positive affirmation of any obligation to protect my rights. And if there's no positive affirmation of an obligation to protect my rights, then there's no legitimate office holder within this court, right? End of story. Simple. Very simple. Now, if anybody says yes, then you direct your next question to them. Sir, I must respectfully require you ensure the immediate dismissal of this matter before the court. As the record already reflects that my right to due process has been violated due to the failure of any agent of the alleged plaintiff, the state, to provide me with a copy of either a probable cause affidavit for an arrest or an alleged indictment, therefore making it impossible for me to create a meeting of the minds or any form of settlement on the charges or knowingly enter a valid plea. Okay, I'm just going to leave that there. I'm not going to get into it any further. That's a question. It's a yes or no question, and there's the answers to both yes and no.
Yeah.
Okay. Question number two. Does anyone here now today in this courtroom have a bona fide claim against the alleged defendant or its property? Do you understand that question, Sam? Do you understand
the complications?
Can you repeat it again? Do you understand the complications of this question? Does anyone here now today in this courtroom have a bona fide claim against the alleged defendant or its property?
Its property. Its property.
Yeah,
defendant,
you caught that one,
its
huh?
Property.
You caught that one, huh?
I did.
All right. That's a yes or no
what
question, right?
Mm-hmm.
Does anyone here now today in this courtroom have a bona fide claim against the alleged defendant or its property? We've already established through the course of our question that the defendant is not us because it's an it, right? It's an it. It's a trust or something else. So just in the course of our question, the way we've worded it, it's a yes or no question, but the way we worded it is that we're not admitting that we are the defendant, and we are stating that the defendant is a trust in some respects, right? Does anyone here now today in this courtroom have a bona fide claim against the alleged defendant or its property? Yes or no question. However, it gets complicated again. Okay. The response to any answer except yes is this. Let the record reflect that this matter must be dismissed with prejudice for failure to state a claim upon which relief could be granted, as there exists no real party in interest bringing a claim before the court. If they don't say yes, if nobody says yes, then that's your response. The record reflect that the matter must be dismissed with prejudice for failure to state a claim upon which relief could be granted, as there exists no real party in interest bringing a claim before the court. So that's your answer to a no. Here's your answer to a yes. Here's your answer to a yes. Sir or ma'am, I must respectfully request you present me with a verified claim showing that you have either been injured or suffered real and provable damages to your private property so that I may be allowed to provide an offer of settlement to any valid charges you intend to levy against the defendant or its property, along with a reasonable amount of time to ensure such settlement acceptably remedies the alleged interest or injury or damages. I'm telling you, every time they're going to say no. Every one of these questions, they're going to say no. But I have an answer to even yes, right? But does anyone here now today in this courtroom have a bona fide claim against the alleged defendant or its property? The answer is going to be no. No one in that courtroom is going to have a bona fide claim against the alleged defendant or its property. The answer is always no. And I've given you a response for a yes or no. And the answer is always going to be no. But the answer to no in this case is, let the record reflect that this matter must be dismissed with prejudice for failure to state a claim upon which relief could be granted, as there exists no real party in interest bringing a claim before the court. That's a no. But we have yes answers, too. Like, go ahead, let them answer yes. We could screw them either way. Okay, here's another question. A yes or no question. Has the court considered the merits of the petition for dismissal entered into the record and ruled upon any of the statements of fact or conclusions of law made therein? This question kind of is complicated because it relies on you actually entering a petition for dismissal. Okay, but hopefully you've already done that. Has the court considered the merits of the petition of dismissal entered into the record and ruled upon any of the statements of fact or conclusions of law made therein? That's a yes or no question. Okay? Here's your response to any answer except yes, again, which is no. Let the record reflect that this matter must be dismissed in consideration of the fact that the court has failed to make any determination or ruling on the statements of facts or conclusions of law contained in the petition before it that it has properly obtained jurisdiction over the alleged claims presented in it. If they say yes, here's your response. Sir or ma'am, I must respectfully require you to provide me with a written ruling, order, and opinion on such determination, particularly describing any and all alleged defects in the merits of the statement of fact and conclusions of law made upon the face of the petition before this court be permitted to exercise jurisdiction over any claims of the alleged plaintiff. I can't get into explaining a lot of these, but I will just give you those. Those are the three questions that have yes or no answers, and I have a response to all three questions, whether they say yes or no. And every response is geared toward encouraging the court to understand that it doesn't have a fucking case before it. It really doesn't matter how you answer those questions. I don't care who answers those questions or how they answer them. Somebody has to answer those questions. And they're yes or no questions. So did you answer yes or did you answer no? Somebody has to answer those questions. And it's yes or no question. And no matter how they answer it, yes or no, I have a response that drives them back to the point that they don't have any fucking facts. They don't have any jurisdiction. And nobody there can say that that you owe them anything. So we did three questions that both have yes or no, all have yes or no answers, and we've answered them. I'm not going to go further into detail on that, but. If anybody was listening to your show and heard those three questions, they understand that they're yes or no questions. And I've given them the response to both answers, yes or no. It doesn't matter how they answer the question. It really doesn't. Because, again, we're going to go to question number one. This is my favorite. Well, actually, this is my second favorite, but it's my first question. Is there anyone here in this courtroom under any legally enforceable obligation to recognize and protect my rights? That question is worded very specifically for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Are you under a legally enforceable obligation to recognize and protect my rights? If there's no one there under any legally enforceable obligation to recognize and protect your rights, then you're in a private court and it's all bullshit. Period. If there is somebody there under a legally enforceable obligation to recognize and protect your rights, then the next question I would say is, what liability do you hold if you don't recognize and protect my rights? Because, fucking, I'm pretty sure I'm going to get screwed here. So if you're under, if you say yes, you're under a legally enforceable obligation, then how do I enforce that obligation? Right now, how do I enforce that obligation? Because I'm pretty sure my rights are being fucked. So If you say yes, you're under a legally enforceable obligation to recognize and protect my rights. If you say yes to that, then the next question I would ask is, how do I do that? Because I'm pretty sure my rights are being fucked here.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse my language.
No, it's all good.
Right? I mean, isn't that like a common sense? You, we're talking about layman's terms, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about layman's terms then. Is there anyone here under any legally enforceable obligation to recognize and protect my rights? If it's no, then fine. I get it. I'm in the wrong court. No problem. Screw you, I'll find the right court. Because if there's nobody in this courtroom under any legally enforceable obligation to recognize and protect my rights, I'm obviously in the wrong court. Say no. Say no. Answer that question no. That's fine. I'm okay with that. Tell me. No. There's nobody here under any legally enforceable obligation to recognize and protect my rights. Great. Okay. No problem. Then I'm in the wrong court. But if there is, then what are you going to do about it? Does it make sense?
That's making sense.
I mean,
it's making sense.
Yeah, you want to talk layman's terms? That's where my layman's terms are. I wrote this down a long time ago. I mean, I probably could adjust it a little bit, but it's a yes or no question. Are you or are you not under any legally enforceable obligation to protect my rights? No? Fine. No problem. Thank you for admitting that and telling me I'm in the wrong court. I'll see you later, And I'll walk out.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't belong in this court. I'll just leave. I don't give a fuck. I don't leave. I'll leave. I'm in the wrong court.
Mm-hmm.
And no problem. That's cool. You have a private court. You're doing your own shit with your own jurisdiction. Fine. No problem. I'm out of here. And you just walk out. Because what the fuck are they going to do? Really? If they admitted that they're not under any obligation to protect your rights, they just admitted that you're in the wrong court and they can't do a damn thing about it when you walk out.
Mm-hmm.
Walk out. Say, oh, I'm sorry, I'll find the right court. I'll go to the clerk's office right now and find the right court. Because this isn't the one. Right? Okay. So tell me no. I don't care if you tell me no. I don't have a problem with you telling me no. What I want to know is yes or no. You told me no? Okay, fine. You're operating a private court. I'm out of here. I'm going to go find the right court. Because there's obviously a problem, but you're not the court to solve it because you can't deal with my issues.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So tell me no. I don't mind. I don't mind you telling me no to that question. If there's no one here under any legally enforceable obligation to recognize and protect my rights, then I'm in the wrong court. And I apologize for wasting your time. I'll go find the right court.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And if they are, if somebody says, yes, they are obligated to recognize and protect your rights, require you to ensure the immediate dismissal of this matter before the court, as the record already reflects that my right to due process has been violated due to the failure of any agent of the alleged plaintiff, the state, alleged plaintiff, because the state is always the plaintiff, and the state is alleged to exist because it's not a real thing. It's a end legis. It's a legal fiction. The alleged plaintiff to provide me with either copy of a probable cause affidavit for an arrest or the alleged indictment, therefore making it impossible for me to create a meeting of the minds or any form of settlement on the charges or knowingly enter a valid plea. How do I know what to do if I don't even know who you are? They'll never answer yes. They'll always answer no to these three questions. But if they did answer yes, we have a response for that too. Here's the second question. Does anyone here now today in this courtroom have a bona fide claim against the alleged defendant or its property? Do you think anybody's going to stand up in that court and say, yeah, I have a problem?
Mm-hmm.
No.
The only
problem they're going to say that they have is that they represent somebody, the state.
Yeah.
But the state isn't there. So the answer to that question, does anyone here now today in this courtroom have a bona fide claim against the alleged defendant or its property? No. No. The representative of the alleged plaintiff may or may not have a bona fide claim, but nobody in the courtroom is going to say yes to that question. No one. No one's going to stand up and say, yeah, I have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And I can validate it and verify it because that person caused me injury or damage to my property.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody is ever going to stand up and answer yes to that question. No one ever is going to say yes to that question. No one. And even if they do, sir or ma'am, I must respectfully require you to present me with the verified claim showing that you have either been injured or suffered real and provable damages to your private property so that I may be allowed to provide an offer of settlement to any alleged injury or damage. Because if you really do have a claim, I'm an honorable motherfucker. Excuse my language.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm an honorable person. Present me with a valid claim, and I'll fix it.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't. They never have an answer. Again, all three of these questions have no answers. They're all going to say no. All of them are going to say no. But even if they say yes, you have a response to that, too. Show me. Prove it or shut up right now, because we're tired of this shit. Excuse my language. We're tired of it. You dragged me into the public on a freaking claim that you don't even have a private judgment on. Really? You never approached me in private to try to get me to resolve this claim.
Mm-hmm.
If you had approached me in private, I probably would have fixed it because I'm an honorable person. But now you drag me into public without even a valid claim. Come on! I don't answer to the public. I answer to the private. Do you have a problem? Did you give me an opportunity to fix it? No. You just dragged your own bull crap into the public and then expected me to answer to you? Screw you. Sorry. Anyway, are we almost done with this, or do you need another commercial break? Because I've got more stuff to go over.
I would love to take a commercial break. However, my internet, for some reason, has stopped working at my house, so my commercials won't mode to play. So I don't know how we're still talking, considering I called you through the computer. It might be just because it's through the website. But I have, like, no access to internet right now. So I did manage to load one email from my friend Rod before the internet decided to crap out, and I don't know when it's going to come back on. I don't know what's going on right now. It did this yesterday, too. But he did say, evidence is in conflict, unquote. When both litigants file affidavits and they're contradictory, they cannot both be true. In a civil case, this precludes summary judgment of the contradictory parts are the parts that matter. Summary judgment if the contradictory parts are the parts that matter. So that part was in a bracket. So he made that comment, but I cannot upload any more emails because my internet is being crap. So if you want to comment on that, we can keep moving forward.
I do, actually. You know me. I generally deal with criminal cases. However,
you betcha.
I am working on I had a civil case that went to court today. So I am familiar with that concept. Can you read me that again? Because
quote, evidence is in conflict, unquote. When both litigants file affidavits and they're contradictory, they cannot both be true. In a civil case, this precludes summary judgment, bracket, if the contradictory parts are the parts that matter, bracket.
Okay, this is a summary judgment issue, and he is absolutely correct because, he is absolutely correct because a summary judgment can only be given when there are no justiciable controversies or facts in dispute. So in a civil matter, which is what he brought to your attention, he's absolutely correct. It kind of depends on which party. It ultimately boils down to whether either party can prove that there are no justiciable facts in controversy, because a summary judgment only can occur when there are no justiciable facts in controversy. However, he is also correct by saying that when one party enters an affidavit and the other party enters an affidavit, only one party can be correct. Okay. Okay. Give me a second to think about this. Yeah, a summary judgment absolutely cannot be entered unless there are no justiciable facts in controversy. That's a given on a summary judgment. A summary judgment can only be given when there are no justiciable facts in controversy. However, he's also right that when one party enters an affidavit and another party enters a controversy affidavit, there becomes a justiciable fact in controversy. Whatever it is, there's going to be a justiciable fact in controversy, which would preclude a summary judgment. So because competing affidavits are, how do I express this? Competing affidavits only create a justiciable controversy. I think at that point, one party or the other would have to enter evidence. But entering evidence would also preclude the whole possibility or kind of destroy the whole possibility of, not preclude, but definitely destroy the possibility of a summary judgment. A summary judgment can only be accomplished under very limited circumstances, and when you have competing affidavits, there's no way to determine the outcome of that without a trier of fact. It's called a trier of fact. And therefore, evidence would have to be issued because there's no way for a summary judgment under a level of competing affidavits. So one of the affiants would have to produce evidence, and therefore it would totally negate the concept of a summary judgment. You can't do a summary judgment when there's two competing affidavits. I don't think, because one of the two parties would have to enter evidence. And if you have to enter evidence, then there's a conflict of fact. And if there's a conflict of fact, there's absolutely no way to get a summary judgment. None whatsoever. A summary judgment only occurs when there's no no conflict of fact. So I don't know if he's listening, and I don't know if I explained that well enough for him to understand it, but again, you have my email address, and you're welcome to give him that, and maybe him and I could discuss that on, you know, a private thing, you know?
Sure.
But yeah, a summary judgment is only available when there is no conflict of fact. If And competing affidavits alone actually do create a conflict of fact, because it actually balances shit out. It like, one person said one thing, one person said another thing. But if that's the case, then one party has to create or produce evidence. If you have to produce evidence, there's no way to get a summary judgment. The only way to get a summary judgment is to prove that there's no justiciable controversy in fact. Like, that's the only way to get a summary judgment. A summary judgment means that nobody's arguing. But in the fact that he's talking about where there's competing affidavits, there's literally only paperwork against paperwork. Affidavits are easy to rebut, but if you really want to win, you have to produce evidence. And when there's competing affidavits without evidence, then you cannot obtain a summary judgment. It's impossible to obtain a summary judgment in competing affidavits alone. One party or the other, or both parties, have to produce, well, actually, not both parties. One party has to produce irrefutable evidence in order to obtain a summary judgment. A summary judgment is a very specific type of legal action, and it's only available when there is no facts in controversy. Now, competing affidavits don't really produce any facts. They competing affidavits don't produce evidence or facts. They're just, one guy says one thing, one guy says another thing. Okay, now there's a controversy. If one of those parties can produce actual evidence that the other party doesn't have a claim, then you can get a summary judgment. It's a very specific type of legal action.
Mm-hmm.
A summary judgment is a very specific type of legal action, and it really does require one party proving that there's no argument. That's the main thing in a summary judgment, is you gotta prove that there's no argument. I mean, that's all I can say about that. And I hope he understands that.
What was my internet listening?
I mean, I may have misunderstood his question, but that's the best way I can answer the way you presented it to me.
He said, Roger Elvick, 4 questions for a judge in court. What is your name? Do you have a claim against me? Do you know anyone who has a claim against me? I request that the order of the court be released unto me. It sounds like today's questions are an update of that.
Okay. He's dealing with Roger Elvick, and there are some... Okay. The only part of that that I would agree with is the very first question. What was that first question again?
The very first question, let me open up my email again. What is your name?
Yeah. Okay, what was the second question?
Do you have a claim against me?
Okay. We're going to stop right there. Both of those questions are kind of generally based on the common law aspect of what I've always dealt with. And I will answer those the best way I can. I think he's you're the person you're emailing, you're reading the questions from, doesn't understand the legal system. However, I will try to break it down to him in layman's terms. I've always mentioned this. Okay, check this out. Somebody comes up to you on the street and says, "You owe me $50,000," and they hold a gun to your face. They're like holding a gun to your face, and they're saying, "You owe me $50,000." Okay, what are the first three questions you ask? Who are you? What do you want from me? And why do you think I owe it to you? We're on the same basic guidelines with Roger Elvick's stuff, but here's the difference. He's right. Who are you? They tell you who they are. I'm the prosecutor. I'm so-and-so, whatever. I'm some government agent, whatever. They give you their title and or their name. They very rarely give their name, but they'll give you their title. I'm Officer Jones, okay? That's generally what they give you. Okay, so you don't know their name. You just know their title. Mm-hmm. Who are you? I'm Officer Jones. Okay, what do you want from me? I want $50,000. Okay, fine. Why do you think I owe it to you? This is the third question that creates a big problem. And when you do this in the legal aspect, it's way different than when you do it on the street. But mm-hmm. you got to think about this from a street gangster point of view, right? Like somebody says, you got to do this. Says who? And why? I mean, this is common sense shit. Like, somebody gives, they tell you, you got to do this. Who are you to tell me what to do? Why are you telling me to do it? And can you prove that I owe you that obligation? Can you read that second email to me again?
Because there's
more I want to get into on that, but I need to
remember
what you said.
Okay, so the first one, what is your name? Second one, do you have a claim against me? And the third one, do you know
Okay, what is your name? They're never going to give you that. They're going to say, I'm Officer so-and-so. Okay, do you have a claim against me? Fuck no, they don't. No, the answer to that question is no. They don't have a claim against you. They're presuming that they do because they're operating on some form of alleged authority that they have over some alleged thing that you're not. Okay, I'm going to leave that one alone. What was the third one?
The third one, do you know anyone who has a claim against me?
Yeah, they don't. Yeah, that. I mean, the answer to all three of those questions are maybe the first one it might be answered, but the second and third one, the answers are going to be no. They don't have a claim against you, and they don't know anybody that does have a claim against you. Okay, let's get into this. All prosecutions are brought in the name of the people of the state, right? Okay, the state of North Carolina prosecutes you for some shit. Okay, but all prosecutions from the state of North Carolina are brought in the name of the people of the state of North Carolina. Okay, well, are any one of the people of the state of North Carolina going to show up in that courtroom and go, yeah, we have a problem with you? No, they're not. Because, first of all, you don't even know, the court doesn't even know or recognize generally who the people are. There's no definition of the people, okay, legally. So, no. But second of all, not a single human being is going to show up and go, yeah, I have a problem. They're not. Because if they do, then they're claiming to be one of the people of the state of North Carolina. So now they're liable for all of the fucking debts of the goddamn state of North Carolina, excuse my language. No, they're not going to do it. Nobody, it's, no. The answers to the last two questions are no, that he asked. The answer is always going to be no. Nobody's going to say that they have a claim against you. Nobody's ever going to stand up in court and say they got a claim against you. Because if they do say they got a claim against you, and they're prosecuting on the behalf of the state, that means that they just accepted all of the liability of the entire state. And there's so much money. There's so much money that the state is liable for. Nobody will ever stand up and say that. No one will ever do that. No human being will ever stand up and say yes. I guarantee you, they won't. They won't. They won't. And if they do, you sue them on the spot. You're like, oh, okay, well, I want all my tax money back. I want everything that you think, that every penny I've ever paid you for gas, sales, real estate, my vehicle, everything. Now they're liable for all that shit. Nobody's ever going to do that. Nobody's ever going to do that, ever. They won't ever do that, ever, ever, ever. Nobody will ever sign their name to a document accepting all of that liability. I guarantee freaking to you, it's never happened and it never will. They won't do it. So that's a yes or no question. Yeah. You really want to take liability for this? I dare you. Go ahead. Say you're the person I owe. Go ahead. I dare you to say that you're the person I owe, because you're not the person I owe. If you want to say you're the state and I owe you? And even if they did, then you could just drop right back into equity and say, well, I'm sorry, I've already paid you, like, how many thousands of dollars over the course of my life just to exist, and so we could subrogate that. I'm getting into shit that I'm going to have to explain later, but, yeah. Good. Yeah, nobody's ever going to admit liability for that. That's the problem. Here's what it all boils down to. They want you to be liable. They want you to pay. But then they litigated themselves out of liability. So there's no equal value there. Right? Like, I'm sorry, we're getting into discussions that I did not want to get into tonight. But anyway, I tried to answer that guy's question as best I could.
Yeah. And I'll get you Rod's email, and you guys can continue to discuss through email, because I think you guys would have some very interesting
Absolutely. Yeah, please provide him my email. Which email do you have for me?
I think it's the Chris Martin email.
I don't have access to that anymore. I know. It's been causing me a lot of problems over the last couple months. I think it was Chris Martin 88.
No, there's a different one. Johnny Poroshenko at gmail.com.
No, don't use that.
Don't use that one? Okay. How many fucking emails do you guys?
I had Chris Martin 88, and now it's Chris Martin 87.
Okay, hold on. I'll just email.
So Chris Martin 87 at gmail.com, all lowercase. I do have the Johnny Poroshenko thing, but I use that for very specific purposes and not this one.
Okay.
My email address is chrismartin87@gmail.com, all lowercase.
Okay.
So it's chrismartin87@gmail.com, all lowercase.
Okay. Sounds good. I shot him off an email saying to get a hold of you at that email.
How much time do we have left?
We have, wrong tab, 36 minutes.
How much?
36 minutes.
Okay. Well, before we run out of time, we had this conversation earlier, and I really hate doing this because I am not good at marketing, and I am not good at begging. However, I do have Venmo and Cash App, and I need to bring this up on your shit because...
Yep, go for it.
I'm hard-pressed for being alive right now. My Venmo is geez, hold on. I forgot. I don't even use these things anymore because nobody ever. My Venmo is at Chris Martin 0076. It's capital C, capital M, Chris Martin, MARTEN 0076. And my profile picture is a photo of the painting called The Jurist, which is a painting from the 1700s. Or 1600s. Anyway, at Chris Martin 0076, unknown pixie. And my Cash App is, my cash tag is, hold on, Innerspace 529, all dollar sign INNER. SPACE 529. Same picture. It's The Jurist. It's a very famous painting. Inner space, not interspace, but inner space. 529.
Okay.
And both of those profiles have the same profile picture, which is a picture of it's a very famous painting called The Jurist. It's from the 1600s. It's a very grotesque man, but it's a painting from the 1600s called The Jurist. And I don't know. I don't want to have people doing a whole bunch of research trying to figure out who I am or where to send money. So I don't know. If anybody wants to send me some donations, just, I mean, if you can't find me, find Sam and just make a note that it's for me and she'll get it to me, I'm sure.
I just put it in the show description. But, yeah, you could definitely get a hold of me and we can definitely forward that if that works. So,
Yeah, I mean, I spend 40 hours a week. Excuse me. Hold on. Oh my God, I'm sorry. Hold on.
No worries.
My apologies. Oh my God.
You're sick of your own bullshit of being poor. It's about time you start making a little bit of money. It's a sign.
Excuse me. My sincerest apologies. That was weird. Okay, well, I spent excuse me, hold on. My apologies. One second. Wow.
I shouldn't be laughing, but this is kind of funny.
It's hilarious. I know. My apologies. Oh, my goodness. What? Oh, my God. My sincerest apologies. That very rarely happens. Oh. Oh, my God. Okay. Oh, my God.
Do you need to blow your nose or something for a quick minute?
One second, please. Yeah, my girlfriend just suggested I do the same thing. Give me one second, please. My apologies. I'm trying not to interrupt this podcast. Oh, excuse me. Wow. Excuse me. Okay. Well, one second, please.
No worries. No worries. It's all good. It's all good.
Oh.
So, absolutely. Yeah, I threw your information up on the description already. And when I get my website a little revamped here, I'll throw your stuff up on my website as well, front page or second page or something, and I'll get that stuff up there as well if people want to. I'll put it up with a hyperlink to go to your website, and people can definitely check it out. And I'll throw it up on my Facebook tomorrow morning.
Yeah, I will tell you this. The website that you helped me develop.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yes.
I intend to put a lot of free stuff on there. A lot.
Okay.
Because I definitely want to encourage people to learn. I think once I get that running, and again, a lot of it is just a matter of producing content.
Mm-hmm.
But I think most of that website will be free. There will be, I think I'm going to charge $10 a month for a subscription service, but
yeah.
There's... I'm not going to lie to you or your listeners. I really think that once I get that thing going, the subscription service will only give you generally like more access to me individually.
Yeah.
And some real like deep stuff that I don't want to give out in public because I don't want to present problems for myself.
Mm-hmm.
Um, There's a, you know, Sam, there's a lot of things you don't know. You know a lot about me. I mean, more than most people should know. But even you don't know the things I'm capable of. Like, and it's, it doesn't have anything to do with, you know, the other things you know about me. But, like, I have access to resources that I don't think I would even provide on that site, but I think that it would be worth the $10 a month for people to get in touch with me, to get me to maybe allow them access to the things I know. I won't, there's a lot of things I won't put on that site, but, and there's a lot of people that I won't give access to, but I think it'd be worth the $10 a month. Once, I mean, there will be a lot more things on that site that are worth the $10 a month. But I think generally what I'm going to try to do is give most of this general knowledge and concepts to, for free. I really do. I don't want to charge anybody for things that are, you know, that they should know. I think that $10 a month access to that site, once I get it running, will be to get general access to me and my resources. And the reason I'm saying that is because if you're paying the $10 a month, that just gives me an idea of who you are and what you're available, what, you know, not the, the, you know, the people that pay for this subscription. I think that it's going to give me a better idea of who they are and what I should give them access to. What I'm proposing is not just access to information that's not generally available, but access to resources that are definitely not available. So I think the $10 a month thing would be worth their time. They may or may not, I mean, it's just, you know, again, it's not just the information that you're not getting, it's the resources that you're not getting. I have resources available that we could, that I won't give away for $10 a month, but anybody that pays $10 a month, I'll be paying attention to them, and I'll give my resources available to them for free if I feel like they are worth it. So I don't know how to explain that without being, without appearing egotistical. I really don't. Like,
that is called your ideal client, and that is somebody that you actually want to work with, especially when you're talking about, like, I'm doing spiritual marketing and things like that. Those are the kind of people that you actually want to work with. And not to say that other people aren't valuable, but these are the people that you want to actually work with. And these are the people who are going to understand you. They're going to value the things that you have to offer, and they are going to be willing to pay and do the work because they know that the things you have to offer are going to be of value, and they are going to further their lives in a way that they can see that will be positive change. So having different tiers of different levels of funnel and things like that, so that's definitely a good way to go about things.
I guess the $10 subscription program is just a minor introduction between the two of us, and then I will give away my resources for free because all of these resources that I have, we all want to work together, and but we can't just. We gotta kind of make sure we know what we're dealing with. So I think the, you know, I mean, just putting that little limited amount of your own effort into, you know, showing us that you want access, will not everybody's going to get everything. $10 a month will give you access to a lot, but it will actually give you a lot of access to even bigger, freer resources in the long run. So, I mean, you know, there's going to be like, I think that $10 a month access point is just going to be something that we're going to use to make sure that we can kind of weed out who we're dealing with and what they're capable of, and some people will be invited into much bigger and absolutely free access to other shit. Like, but it's just a matter of like, you gotta get in the game, and you gotta prove that you're in the game, and then if you can prove that you're in the game, you've got a chance of getting in the bigger shit, and that other shit is gonna be free. We're not like, there's not going to be like a $10 access and then a $100 access and then a $1,000 access. It's going to be a $10 access period. And then me and my people will figure you out from the $10 access, and we'll seek you out into bigger things that are going to be free and generally available. But you just got to get past that first point, you know? I mean, you got to show us that you want something. And if you're in that $10 a month access level, we'll pick you out and we'll give you free shit. And, you know, I mean, it's a lot bigger than that. It's just, I think we just got to do something. You know, we just got to weed out the bullshit.
Yep, we can definitely at some point sit down if you're needing help or things like that. We can definitely sit down and kind of categorize and figure out what's going where and how to operate and those things. We can, I don't know if we'll do that tonight, but definitely soon. We're going to sit down and we're going to work that out.
Well, Sam, you know I'm a gangster, right?
Straight up. It's a straight up G.
I just wanted to hear you say that on the air. Because that's all I needed. Because you know me, and I don't screw around. I'm not an egotistical person, and I'm generally not like somebody that's trying to hide things from people. But you know, in this fight, we need specific individuals, and as long as you're willing to admit that on the air, that you know that I'm not a joke.
You ain't a joke. You ain't a damn joke. Don't even say that about yourself. That's just not gonna. That's not acceptable.
I didn't, and I didn't expect you to. That's why I asked.
Ain't nobody saying that.
I know that. I'm not worried about anybody saying that. I'm just saying that I needed you to admit that on the air, that if people are really willing to get involved, then they need to get in touch. So
sounds good.
And we're trying to keep it as limited as possible and give everybody access to it, because $10 a month is not much.
Nope.
So,
it most certainly ain't. We've got about 18 minutes here. Did you want to like go over anything else here before the time is up after the 18 minutes, or?
No, because if I get involved in anything else, it's going to take 20. I appreciate you letting me be on your show tonight, as usual. I love you. I think you're an amazing person, and I appreciate the work you do. I hope some people learned some things tonight, and if they didn't, then they're welcome to contact me, and we'll explain it further. You know, like, I don't think I said anything that wasn't readily available tonight, but hopefully I explained it in a way that, you know, like you said, the layman can understand.
No, I think you're good. And like I said, we're going to have to get in contact, and we're going to start working on getting your tiers set up and the funnels set up and those other programs that you're looking to do set up. We'll get that going, and then we'll get your website promoted that everybody can find you. So.
Cool. I'd like to talk to you maybe in the next couple of days, not tomorrow, but maybe in the next 3 or 4 days. You and I should touch base on some of the constructs and plans and resources that I have available and what I plan, what we can plan to do with them. Maybe on a, you know, private account, I'm sure. I really appreciate you letting me be on your show tonight. I hope some people learn some things. I really appreciate letting me be on your show, and I hope some people learn some things. And hopefully they can, you know, help us with the dumb shit that we have to deal with as far as finances. But in the meantime, whether they do or not, like, I hope some people learn some things, and I'm really proud to be on your show. It means a lot to me to be on your show. I appreciate you, Sam. And we'll talk about some other things soon. Okay?
Sounds good.
Alrighty,
everybody, we're going to head out for the night. Big thank you to Pixie for showing up and sharing a bunch of information. Like I said, the next time he comes on, we're going to have this thing fully functional, and we're going to have it available for you guys to access. And it ain't going to be super expensive, but it's going to be well worth your time. And if you have any $5, $10, $15 that you got sitting in your wallet that you want to kick his way, I put up his information on the show description, his Cash App, and his Venmo. Help your brother out. And if you want to contact him, there is his Gmail there, chrismartin87@gmail.com. And just to recap, his Venmo is chrismartin006, Chris Martin with an E, and Pixie's Cash App, Innerspace 529. So that's it for tonight, folks. We're going to head out.
Hold on. My apologies. It's chrismartin0076.
Yeah, 0076. Okay, I fixed that. 0076. Okay, perfect. Chris Martin, 0076.
Just look for the Juris painting.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
have a good night, Sam.
Yeah, you too. Hi, everybody. We will see you guys again next Friday, and we should be having Rob McClinic, a friend of mine who does interesting octagon coaching. He teaches you. Oh, my goodness. I'm not even going to go over too much, but he does amazing coaching and teaching you how to become a millionaire, a billionaire, and triage coaching, because he's in the military. He's done a lot of really interesting things, and he has a lot of really interesting stuff to say. So we will catch you guys again here next week, and have a very happy Friday. Bye.